Hello and welcome to the reading of the Yuma Sun. This is Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona Radio Reading Service volunteer broadcaster. Today I'll be reading some of the following articles: Getting Ready for School, Free Haircuts and Supplies, Coalition Awards $1,000 to Local Farmer, Veteran, Council Approves Water and Sewer Master Plan on Cesar Chavez Boulevard. Our first article by Braden Steele from the Yuma Sun, Getting Ready for School, Free Haircuts and Supplies. Yuma kids who went to the Martin Luther King Jr. Youth Career Center, located at 300 South 13th Avenue, Saturday morning, were in for a treat. Local volunteers and organizations put on a back-to-school event. Kids aged 5 through 17 received free school supplies and haircuts to help them get ready for the start of the school year. School supplies given out included backpacks, pencils, notebooks, markers, pens, and just about anything a child in school would need in the classroom. The haircuts were provided by several different people and groups from Phoenix and even San Diego. One of the event hosts, Lindsay Martin, had one simple goal in mind for the event. "All we want is every Yuma kid to show up," Martin said. "It's not about the advertising. There were so many good sponsors that put this together." Event co-host Gabby Banks works as a barber in Gilbert and was one of the many barbers who gave out haircuts to kids. Martin and Banks were friends on social media, and Banks suggested the idea of a back-to-school event to Martin, who acted quickly. "If you will tell me an idea, I'm going to go through with it. So we made it happen," Martin said. The community event also included several hairdressers, such as Tina King, one of the many volunteers offering services who felt a personal connection to the event, as she grew up in the area. "I went to Carver School right here," King said. Miss Yuma County 2026, Madeline Toms, and Miss Yuma County teen, Lindsay Yu, were also present, taking photos with young kids and helping out by passing out food and giving directions to parents and kids online. Yu saw it as another opportunity to help out. "I do a lot of community service with schools and education programs, and my community service initiative directors heard about this and thought it would be a perfect idea for me," Yu said. Also featured at the event were food and drink for parents and kids, including free snow cones, as well as music and live singing. Local organizations set up booths to give kids free things like pamphlets and other school supplies. This article was written by Braden Steele of the Yuma Sun, title, Getting Ready for School, Free Haircuts and Supplies. Matilda Carpenter of the Yuma Sun writes, Coalition Awards $1,000 to Local Farmer Veteran. Cha Lorvang is awarded $1,000 for her veteran-owned farm by Tractor Supply Company. Char Lovang, a Yuma native small business owner and military veteran who served in the Marines, was awarded $1,000 by Tractor Supply Company as part of its Farmer Veteran Coalition Fellowship Fund. The funding aims to support veterans as they enter into farming and ranching. "Supporting our military heroes means standing by them long after their service ends, especially as they look for new opportunities and purposes as a civilian," said Mary Wynn Pilkington, Senior Vice President, Investor Relations and Public Relations at Tractor Supply and President of the Tractor Supply Company Foundation. FVC has proven that agriculture is a powerful outlet, offering these men and women a meaningful new career alongside profound physical and psychological benefits. By stepping into farming, these veterans also strengthen the very fabric of the rural communities we serve, she said. "Through our long-standing partnership with FVC, we are privileged to support hundreds of farmers, veterans, each year as they grow their businesses, feed their neighbors, and embark on a new adventure out here." Lorvang's farm, the Late Bloomers Homestead, is a family-owned farm that specializes in agriculture designed for Yuma's harsh desert environment and operated on a direct-to-consumer model. Part of its offerings include pasture-raised eggs, specialty poultry, and wide range of vegetable crops in addition to flowers. The farm is focused on sustainable agricultural practices and is actively expanding operations across its one-acre property to help strengthen the local food security. This is Tractor Supply Company's eighth year partnering with FVC to help farmer veterans from all branches of the military in its commitment to veteran causes. Through these initiatives, $750,000 has been donated, assisting more than 450 farmer veterans throughout the county. Launching and growing a farm or ranch requires a significant investment in equipment, infrastructure, and other essential resources, said FVC Director Jeanette Lombardo. Tractor Supply's ongoing support of the Farmer Veteran Coalition Fellowship Fund helps our members overcome the barriers and build sustainable agricultural businesses. Their commitment goes beyond financial support. They truly understand the challenge veteran farmers and ranchers face and consistently stand alongside them as trusted partners. We're deeply grateful for Tractor Supply dedication to strengthening veteran-owned farms, rural communities, and the future of American agriculture. Fellowship fund applicants are evaluated by an advisory panel of agricultural professionals based on criteria that includes personal investment in the farm business, the strength of a funding request, goals for the business and the community involvement. Awardees must also agree to periodically provide progress reports and to mentor other farmer veterans and display a desire to make a continued positive impact on the farmer veteran community. This article, written by Matilda Carpenter from the Yuma Sun, Coalition awards $1,000 to local farmer veteran. Staff reports, Council approves water and sewer master plan on Cesar Chavez Boulevard. Water and sewer infrastructure can be seen along Cesar Chavez Boulevard at the start of the expansion project. The plan approved Wednesday by the City Council will prevent future developments from tearing up the pavement on the renovated boulevard to connect to water or sewer services. The San Luis City Council took a step toward protecting the investment made in infrastructure and preparing Cesar Chavez Boulevard for future development by approving the Water and Sewer Connection Master Plan. On Wednesday, the City Council unanimously approved the plan presented by City Engineer Tomas Sanchez. It will organize future utility connections for underdeveloped properties along this vital city corridor from Escondido Drive to Avenue E. Construction began in March to expand the boulevard to four travel lanes with bike lanes, turn lanes, landscaped medians, sidewalk curbs, and other urban improvements. The plan, for which the city hired the firm James Davy and Associates, will prevent future developments from having to tear up the new pavement to connect to water and sewer services once the project is completed. Sanchez explained that improvements to the water and sewer infrastructure have been carried out over the past 2 years, including new lines and connections intended for vacant properties between Escondido Drive and Avenue 10. The official emphasized that the purpose of the Water and the Sewer Connection Master Plan is to ensure that future construction can connect to the infrastructure already installed without requiring excavation of the new boulevard. He detailed that 16 water connections and 17 sewer connections were installed to accommodate future development on those properties, which are primarily owned by the state, along with some privately owned parcels. The staff reported that Council approves Water and Sewer Master Plan on Cesar Chavez Boulevard. Michael Marish of the Sun staff reports aquatic feasibility study to include Kennedy Pool. An aquatic feasibility study will look at pools and water-related activities in Yuma, including Kennedy Pool, which some residents and council members want to save. The study is expected to take 11 months before city officials can decide what needs to be done to improve them. The city awarded the $138,260 study contract to Barry, Dunn, McNeil, and Parker. The approximate completion date is 2027 in June. Included in the study will be existing aquatic facilities such as Kennedy Pool, Valley Aquatic Center, Marcus Pool, Carver Pool, Carver Park, Splash Pad, and the Splash Pads at Friendship Park and the East Mesa Community Park. To the extent possible, existing aquatic service providers within a 20-minute drive of Yuma will also be evaluated for comparison, said Parks and Recreation Director Eric Erfer. Once the feasibility study is completed, the information will include costs for improvements will be given to the council. In addition to evaluating the city's existing aquatic facilities, the study will assess the community's current and future aquatic needs to help guide long-term planning. As part of the evaluation, the study will include a review of current programs, participation trends, community demand, future programming needs, potential locations for future investments, staffing and operational models, as well as projected capital and operating costs. It will also explore how aquatic services can best support recreation water safety, swim instruction, fitness, competitive swimming, and other community needs. We know aquatics are important to many people in our community, Erfer said in a press release. This study will help us evaluate what we have today, understand how needs are changing, and give city leadership reliable information to make decisions that are fiscally responsible and best positioned to meet the needs identified through the study. The proposal of the feasibility study was divided into two phases. The first phase focuses on needs and assessment and site evaluation. The first step will be information gathering, with the consultant looking at the information and products the city already has, everything from use agreements to former studies and different plans associated with the products. Erfer pointed out that one of the most important parts is public engagement. We really want to know what the community wants out there in the Parks and Recreation Department in general. Their input is critically important. They will be taking all that information in phase one that they gather, and they will produce their preliminary findings report and visionary summary. The last thing Parks and Recreation will do is to take a look at its potential partners. The power partnership is real, and a lot of these facilities are going to be really expensive, but they are made possible through partnerships, Erfer said. Erfer also noted that the park's master plan, adopted by the council in July of 2024, calls for additional athletic opportunities in Yuma. This article by Michael Marish of the Yuma Sun, Aquatic Feasibility Study to Include Kennedy Pool. Yuma Native Advocates for Cleft Affected Community. Matilda Carpenter writes the article. Miranda Strange, a cleft-affected Yuma native, recently spoke at CleftCon in Phoenix to advocate for the community. Strange revealed how growing up with a bilateral cleft lip and palate affected her growing up in Yuma and how the landscape of advocacy has changed over the years. For the past couple of years, I have been a part of Smile Train's advisory board, she explained. This year, I am both on the CCAC and the CCSC, and so between both of those, I am all about educating the community, representing Smile Train, doing local volunteer efforts, and continuing to spread the word via social media as well. CCAC and CCSC stand for Cleft Community Advisory Council and Cleft Community Student Council, respectively. Comprised of those who are cleft affected themselves, they aim to help raise awareness for cleft affected people and work with Smile Train to guide how best to help those affected. For Strange, this advocacy is something she wished she had grown up with in Yuma. Obviously, Yuma is a very small town, and I think I only knew one other person that was cleft affected as well. And so I didn't really have anyone to look up to talk to any other than my cleft care team at the hospital, said Strange. But other than that, there wasn't a whole lot of representation or any resources online. But I found growing up, and so honestly, it was very isolating. According to Strange, the lack of representation was disheartening to her as a youngster and became shy. Luckily, I found dance and fashion and hair and makeup to really express myself through those mediums when I was too shy to talk. It wasn't until much later in life that I found the online resources in Facebook groups and people on YouTube sharing their story, and that inspired me to come out of my shell. Now, as an adult, Strange works with Smile Train's CCAC to help provide the sort of inspiration that she lacked as a child for the next generation of cleft-affected people. Smile Train has sponsored more than 2 million free cleft surgeries worldwide, and obviously I knew about Smile Train growing up. You know, I've heard of it, but I didn't know that I could personally be involved with them, said Strange. A couple of years back, I started seeing the CCAC advisory board be promoted by some of my peers, and so I decided to apply to be part of it and was accepted. The advocacy has real-world impacts. The organization worked on a piece of the legislation that is now in the Congress. A bill passed through Congress called ELSA, E-L-S-A, the Ensuring Lasting Smiles Act, and that has actually been ongoing for, I believe, over 10 years, she explained. A lot of our group efforts have been going to Capitol Hill, reaching out to our local Congress members and representatives, and just trying to get the story told and make people more aware. All of this work, according to Strange, comes together to help the young people who may feel alone as they navigate their condition. It's so beautiful to see all of the resources that are available, not only to cleft-affected individuals, but moms and parents of cleft-affected babies, Strange said. Just being able to be a representative online, on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and then seeing more people with facial differences in the news, it's very inspiring. Strange also had advice for young people still navigating the hurdles of treating a cleft condition. The life you really want to live. It is possible, and don't let how you think people think about you, let that stop you. I was definitely so self-conscious, and I just kept myself from opportunities and trying things because I didn't think I was worthy of doing those things, she said. There's so many opportunities for you. This article written by Matilda Carpenter of the Yuma Sun. Yuma Native advocates for cleft-affected community. Braden Steele writes, Comings and Goings, Rise and Bake, Burr Society, Street Food Mafia, and Yuma Tea House. Rise and Bake is a new bakery located at 713 West 8th Street, specializing in French pastries with an infusion of Latin flavors. Owner Juan Velasquez is excited at how the new bakery will bring more French pastries to the people of Yuma. I think that I always had to go to San Diego or Phoenix to get a good French croissant, Velasquez said. We can now make it here. Velasquez, a chef who has been serving the Yuma community as part of the organization such as the Yuma Civic Center Kitchen and Bordertown Arts Project, hopes to have the restaurant finished and fully operational within the next 2 to 3 weeks. After an initial opening last Wednesday, Rise and Bake has been open from Thursday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., but once fully opened, it will be operational from Tuesday through Saturday. While the bakery has many options to choose from and hasn't been open long, so far one item has been the most popular with customers, the chocolate pistachio croissant. Rise and Bake can be reached for inquiry at 928-580-6518. And you can also place orders online at their website. Burr Society, a company specializing in Philadelphia water ice desserts, is teaming up with the Street Food Mafia to form Burr Society, Street Food Mafia, a collaboration between Burr Society owner David L. Murray and Street Food Mafia's Joe Preciado. The business promises the ice-cold desserts of Burr Society with the smoked tip barbecue and Mexican food fusion of Street Food Mafia. I do a lot of different smoked barbecues, such as brisket, pulled pork, barbecue beef, bacon, said Preciado. As far as tacos, loaded fries, loaded nachos, loaded quesadillas, it's just kind of making two different flavors into one. Preciado and Street Food Mafia have won several awards for their tacos, including the award for Best Asada at the 2024 Tacos and Tunes Festival in downtown Yuma. As for Burr Society, it's one of the several businesses Murray has under him, including both Never Low Glass Gallery and Murray Sports Academy. But water ice is what Murray brings to the table with Burr Society, claiming he is the only Arizona distributor of water ice shipped from Philly, as Preciado believes it is a unique and delicious product. It's a lot of different things kind of mixed into one, said Preciado when talking about the water ice. It's hard to explain, but as soon as you taste it, you're gonna be like, you know what? This is different, but it really is good. While the business will specialize in serving water ice and smoked barbecue, Mexican food, Preciado said the plans for the collaboration go beyond just food, with the business being thought of as a potential family fun center that could eventually be complete with things for kids like video games. Burr Society and Street Food Mafia doesn't have a set grand opening date, but Murray and Preciado are planning for August. I will be located at 1420 South Avenue B. Yuma Tea House, a Foothills business located at 11815 South Foothills Boulevard, Suite 3 in the Ocotillo Plaza, has appeared to close. According to the company's Google search page, the establishment has permanently closed, with the Google reviews option turned off as well. Opened by Jamie Lee Munoz in March of 2023, Yuma Tea House was an apothecary which offered a wide selection of loose leaf and herbal infusions. Customers could choose the mixes from those already prepared by the shop, mix their own, or order customized mixes. The shop could also infuse any herb or customer's choice with a choice of base, such as coconut, avocado, or olive oil, and raw unfiltered honey. In addition, the shop had other natural products such as soaps, unique and fun gifts, and gift baskets and CBD essentials for people and pets. The Yuma Sun could not reach Munoz for comment. This article written by Braden Steele of the Yuma Sun, Comings and Goings, Rise and Bake, Burr Society and Street Food Mafia, and Yuma Tea House. Next up, letters to the editor. Don't ignore those who need help. A few days ago, after a doctor's appointment on North Frontage Road in Yuma, I had a similar experience. Since my stroke, I have needed a walker, but I got out of our SUV without it after realizing I had left the basket from my wife's scooter on the roof. As we drove away, the basket fell off and spilled its contents into the middle lane. My wife, who is also disabled and unable to walk, turned around, stopped, and put on the emergency flashers. It was 115 degrees and the asphalt was dangerously hot. While trying to retrieve the important items, I fell backward, landing on my back and head, with part of my body in the lane of oncoming traffic. I rolled over and tried several times before I was finally able to get back to the car. My wife counted 15 vehicles passing while I lay in the road. Not one person stopped to help. This is unacceptable. No one should ignore a person lying in a road in 115-degree heat or in any condition. An older adult who has fallen should not be left as traffic passes by. If you see someone in danger, slow down. Stop if it is safe. Call for help. Do not look away or assume someone else will be doing the right thing. After 30 years in the fire service, retiring as a fire captain paramedic, I responded to countless calls involving people who had fallen in the street. I remain grateful to those who took the time to help. Signed, Mark Stroh from Yuma. Erroneous thumbs down. Reason, editorial thumbs down. Down from the Yuma Sun, July 24. I believe you erroneously attributed a thumbs down to the poor woman who died in a car crash in Missouri. Perhaps you meant to assign the negative review to the reality of this incident, not the woman herself. Reread it, if you will, and see how your wording could have and should have been better. Signed, P.D. Sheldon Schumann from Mesa. Editor's note, yes, you're right. I intended to give the thumbs down to the tragic death of the woman, but I inadvertently left out those few important words. My apologies to her family and to her friends. When neighbors look out for one another, Reason editorial, neighborhood watch programs work best when neighbors know each other, July 11. The July 11, 2026 editorial about neighborhood watch programs was great. Our street doesn't have an actual program, no signs, no organizations. What we have had for almost 20 years is a neighborhood phone list and neighbors who know each other by name. We wave, say good morning, or stop on the street to talk, and we know the names of each other's kids and pets. 20 years ago, many of our neighbors left for the summer. Having each other's contact info allowed us to notify them of water leaks, missing shingles, or suspicious activity. It allowed them to contact us to see how we were doing in the heat of the summer. It's a voluntary thing. No one has to take part. And in recent years, there are many more of us who stay year-round. We have a community on our street. We all look out for each other and help out when we can. We also have annual get-togethers so we can really connect. That is what a neighborhood community should be. Yuma and America is about community, caring and looking out for your neighbors. Signed, Janine Morse from Yuma. And that's the letters to the editor for today. Now we turn to the Yuma weather. For today, Monday, it will be sunny and hot with a high near 112. The heat index values as high as 116. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. On Tuesday, it will be sunny and hot with a high near 111. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. On Wednesday, it will be sunny and hot with a high near 112. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. On Thursday, it gets even hotter with a high near 113 degrees. Light south-southeast winds becoming south to 5 to 10 miles per hour in the morning. On Friday, it gets up again even higher, sunny and hot with a high near 115, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And on Saturday, much more of the same. It'll be sunny and hot with a high near 115, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. The meteorologists have put out a warning about the high heat, making sure that everyone wears proper sunscreen and a hat. Well, we're coming to the conclusion of today's Yuma Sun program. This is Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona Radio Reading Service volunteer broadcaster. Thank you for listening to the reading of the Yuma Sun on Sun Sounds of Arizona. If you enjoy hearing news from around the state, please do stay tuned for our daily broadcasts on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Stay well, everyone. Be healthy. Be happy. Bye-bye.